Hey, what is going on, Colts Nation? He's Jamal Lawrence. I'm Eric Smith, your co-host of the Colts Cast.
Yo.
Hey, shout out to our day ones real quick. Let's just give a quick shout out. Well, shout out our day twos, our day threes, our day 474. It don't matter who's listening. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
And we about to break it down for you all. We got... We got it.
Oh, he's tripping. He's pressing random buttons now.
Hey. Cause I'm on my second beer, you know. I'm tapping out after this. Look, 2024 NFL draft has officially wrapped up for the Indianapolis Colts. We entered the draft with 7 picks, and in regular Ballard fashion, we came out with 9. That's how we do it. That's how we do it in Indy. How did the Colts fare? What were the best picks? What was the worst? Did we fill our positions of need? Let's break it all down. Jamal, where are we about to start?
We're going to start with, since we just gave a shout out to everybody who's been listening here for us, new, old, everybody in between, appreciate y'all. Please go ahead and hit that like, subscribe button if you haven't yet. If this is your 90th time listening to us and you still haven't hit that sub button, go ahead and hit it today. Make today be that day. If it's your first time, go ahead and hit it as well. But without further ado, let's go ahead and have some fun with this one. Eric, so the draft itself. You know, like you mentioned, Ballard, he couldn't hold himself to just 7 picks. He had to switch it up and get a couple more, make some things happen. It's a first-round shocker. Could be for some people. Later on, some other shockers going on throughout the draft.
Throw a grade real quick.
Throw a grade? All right.
I know you want to.
Listen, I guess if I'm going to be honest, man, I got to give a grade of a B as in boy. I'll give a B. And you may be wondering why I'm giving a B, because I know a lot of things are saying A+, PFF, all that other nonsense.
B as in Bravo.
I'm sticking with strong with the B, mainly because the B in Ballard decided to not touch the cornerback position until round 6. And you know, I know a lot of people on here, especially the day one listeners, y'all are like, oh boy, here we go. He's about to open up a can of worms and go down this Ballard rabbit hole.
He's up, bro.
Huh? Yeah. But I'm not going to do that. All I want to say is that, you know, real quick with the cornerback, because I think that everything else we did was really solid for what it's worth. But with the cornerback group, listen, Ballard told us in his press conference, he said, you know, these guys aren't young anymore. They're ready to go. But Jalen Jones is the only person, you know, who played every single game. We look at what Juju did last season. Of course, he missed OTAs and mini camp with the wrist injury, missed half a training camp because of the hamstring, missed games 1 and 2, missed games 8 through 15 with the quad, and left the final game with the hamstring injury. He wasn't on the field as much. When he was on the field, he was productive, but he wasn't on the field as much. So I can't sit here and say with the small token we have of his playing time, he was on the field, that he is absolutely, absolutely game ready come day one. So that's why I'm giving this one a B. But let's go ahead and get into it, Eric. What are you going to give him? What you giving for a grade?
Oh man, you read my mind. I'm not giving this guy an A plus for the exact reason, Jamal. I mean, look, so first and second pick, I was like, let's get it. You know, kinda, because you know, if anyone tuned into any of my mock drafts, any single one of them, I'm pretty sure I had a cornerback going in the first round in every single one except one. I think one I had Brock Bowers. I thought he would slip. Looked into it a little bit more, got some more info. I didn't think he would, so I started switching it up. But, you know, third round came around when we took Matt Goncalves from Pittsburgh. I was like, a tackle in the third round? You know, that's when I said I can't give Ballard an A. There were corners available there to take. Some ones that had Ballard traits, Kyrie Jackson, DeCamrion Richardson, TJ Tam. Like there were corners available that I thought had some upside. So when you turn around and the first corner we take is the 6th round and Micah Abraham out of Marshall, ball hockey kind of guy, very anti-Ballard pick because he's, you know, doesn't have those traits he wants, you know, but you got a 5'9" short-armed cornerback. Nothing against him. It's just I was expecting something more from a position that is of need. I don't care what Ballard says. I watched the games last season. I saw what was needed, my opinion, your opinion as well, Jamal, but
absolutely.
I thought we were going to address cornerback a little bit earlier than the 6th round. That's just me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I definitely think that's the main reason. I'm glad we both agree that's the focal point of why we're giving this one a B. But just kind of taking it from the top, like you mentioned, I think picks one and two were great. I think they were really good, especially given the fact that we need that. We need that edge presence. We need that rotational piece is going to hop in there and be able to dominate, help us dominate. We look at the 50 plus sacks our team had last year. Phenomenal. Why not go ahead and boost it up with somebody else who can bring a little more heat to it? Now, I think my only thing, though, is like people are, you know, and again, this is not a hating one, but people are like, oh, you know, I expect nothing less. Ballard admitted that he was going to try to trade up. He tried to trade up, you know, so let's not act like, you know, this was always this was going to be the card no matter what. Ballard, offensive weapon. Shane Steichen wanted an offensive weapon at the start of this if they could have got it for round one. But it was just that 14 other ones had gone, and a couple of them, I'm sure the Colts won it, were gone. So Ballard did what Ballard does. He went BPA, and I'm not mad about going BPA because that's what I would have done at that time as well. But we can't sit here and act like it was always going to be Latu because it just wasn't going to always be Latu. So, but I'm
definitely happy on the board.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He had some secret sauce ready for Latu because they locked that in. And I, again, after probably the Falcons pick, I thought it was a shocker. Maybe the Raiders taking Brock Bowers, but I thought that was one of the shockers of the first round, you know, because you had a lot of people saying, yo, what the fuck are you doing, Ballard? And after they got that out of their system after a few hours, they realized we just drafted one of the best pure pass rushers in the draft, and he's going to be wearing blue and white next season. So
yeah, absolutely.
If y'all remember, we was like, yeah, let's get Danielle Hunter in here. Oh, we couldn't get him even though we offered more money. Well, we just got the next big thing. Grabbed a guy who could be even better. You know, Latu has some of the best metrics we've seen over the last few seasons for any edge rusher. Immense 26.2% pass rush win rate. I mean, I don't think the neck injury is going to be an issue. The Colts definitely did their DD. I see double digit sacks coming for this guy. Like we gotta. Yeah, we are going to be okay. Jamal, AD Mitchell.
AD, yeah.
I'm pretty high on this guy. Like I told you in the other episode, I don't know how you are, but Chris Ballard, he conspired to get this talent, and another shocker. But it's awesome that he dropped far to us, you know, even after a trade back. So another X receiver for the Colts, great size, blazing speed, good route runner at times, red zone weapon, the complete package, you know, explosiveness. But you know, got them inconsistencies I was talking about. If his game can be refined, I feel like the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. And just to put a bow on top of that, I think the biggest thing that I like about this, besides all those things you just mentioned, is the fact that it brings that level of competition into the wide receiver room, that spiciness that we need in the wide receiver room. I've said since day one, I feel like one of the biggest things that we lose sight of on this team, the Indianapolis Colts, is some of our core positions, we should have a little more competition at, and we don't. And we finally have someone in there with AD. This is going to help boost everybody else up, make everybody else a little bit better. And I think that, of course, him coming in with this crazy chip on the shoulder about not being picked, he's going to have that finesse and that dog in him like Downs did last year. He's going to come out the gate blazing. And I'm excited. I know AR is excited for it. So I definitely know Shane Sykins is excited for it. So let's see what happens with these guys.
Yeah, and we brought in another receiver in the fifth round too, Anthony Goode out of Oregon State, which, you know, double dipped in wide receiver. You know, we drafted a lot of offensive players, so you know, slot receiver, return specialist. Specifically, he was arguably the best punt returner in all of FBS last season. So led in yards per return at 18.6. I like this pick, fifth round. Special teams unit usually gets overlooked, I feel like, and you know, by fans, but we all know how impactful they are in setting our units up, our other units up for success. So there you go. Two more weapons. You know, Josh Downs, he's our slot guy right now, but you know, in the event he needs a breather or Downs were to go down, you got a little crafty route runner in there, smaller guy, but you know, he just like Downs can get it done.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, he's going to be that special team specialist for us. I mean, the punt returns are definitely a key factor. The new kickoff, the kick return is going to be a factor for us. So we saw when Bubba Ventrone was with us, we had some of our best time and the special teams. And that's actually what kept us in plenty of those games when we probably shouldn't have been here 2 years ago. So shout out to what the special team does day in and day out. And we see some of these dogs like the Zaires and the EJ Speed. These guys start there and they elevate their game and get to the next level. So there's no saying that Anthony Gold can't have that same thing happen to him. Special teams are most important when it comes to the field because these guys get the job done day in and day out. So we'll see what happens with that.
That's how you start in this league for a lot of players. You start on special teams, you work your way up. So yeah, he's got next up. We've been bouncing around. What did you think about the back-to-back offensive lineman picks in Bordellini and Goncalves?
So I personally feel like I'm always down for getting some extra pieces in the trenches. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The Goncalves, I am happy that we did get him. Because I think that we definitely need another swing player out there that can help us out, especially somebody who can easily bump down, play all four positions on the offensive line, less the center, obviously. I like that thought, but I will say, I'll be honest with you, even though the numbers he put up have been, you know, pretty solid throughout the time, he went out last year at week three and didn't come back with that foot injury. I think toe injury was something like that, and yeah, he hadn't come back. So that's a lot. I mean, that's a long time, and Ballard and company had to see something in him to want to move up for someone who, I mean, missed essentially the entire season.
I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. I'm sure there's a method to the madness, but I will say that's my only downside to him is just looking at that. And I'm sure had the injury not come there, he'd have been earlier pick. But these things happen. Now, as far as it goes for, of course, then getting Bordellini here on the backside, Ballard graduated from Wisconsin. I expect nothing less from Ballard. He loves Wisconsin guys. So I'm not surprised. And he wanted, you know, another athletic guy. So there's a recurrent theme about a lot of these players that we're getting right now here in this draft. They are a lot of these guys are just super athletic, versatile players. They can do a little bit of everything. So I wouldn't even be surprised to see him test the waters with a little bit of center guard action, you know, as well as not just focusing on center, because Tony Sperano is going to have a field day with all these guys. He's going to get in there and get a chance to work with the offensive linemen. And I wouldn't be surprised maybe if one of them snuck into a starting role here at some point this season, especially with that right guard spot still kind of be up in the air right now. But I know the average person probably is not too happy with back-to-back linemen, but I like to think I see what Ballard was doing with that, because we need all the protection that we can for Richardson. And when you have someone like Sperano who's on the field, who can help teach these guys and get them to the elevated level they need to be, you can kind of take that risk factor with that and put the pieces in, because every year we have at least one or two players that go down for a couple games on the offensive line, which I hate it, but it's just the reality of the situation. So why not go ahead and have that extra cushion, that extra buffer right there?
Yeah. I don't hate the depth, and you've already heard my spiel about how I wanted to address cornerback there, but you got to think of it. You know, I think Ballard has had some, you know, nightmares pop up. He doesn't want Anthony Richardson to end up like Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with the premier offensive line? You continuously invest into it. So, you know, I'm not a hater of those picks. Like I get why he wanted to do that. It's invest in Richardson. I just wish corner came a little earlier.
Absolutely.
But like you said, versatility has been the name of the game of this draft, as we'll talk about in these other picks, because a lot of these players, they're experienced, but not only that, they're experienced in, you know, multitude of alignments and other positions. So it's, I like it, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, Swiss Army knife, but can they be, you know, elite at a position, at one single position? It's hard to play multiple positions. A lot of people do it in college, but in NFL, you usually get stuffed into one position. So, so we talked about most of the picks. I guess we can get it into our later round picks, or day three picks. We got Jalen Carlisle out of Mizzou, who is a safety, but hearing he's going to have to play some linebacker in the NFL. We also, so our three fifth round picks were Anthony Goode, of course, and then Jalen Carlisle, and then Jalen Simpson, corner, safety. So, again, we talk about this versatility. They're listed at different positions depending on who you talk to. But I think Mizzou Jalen is definitely going to be a linebacker. I don't think he's playing safety in the NFL. But I think it's a solid pick with some upside. I think you bring that pass coverage to the linebacker position, mm-hmm. which is something I've talked about in our mock drafts that I feel like we're missing. And then, you know, we've obviously needed safety help this entire time. So you get a guy with some great ball skills, knows how to bait a quarterback, and Simpson out of Auburn. It'll be interesting to see how Gus Bradley utilizes him, thinking free safety for him. But again, we're in the fifth round, no cornerback until we get to the sixth. But what do you think about those two picks?
I mean, yeah, like, it's pretty much what you said. I really think that Carlisle, with him going down, more than likely to linebacker group, learning with EJ and Zaire, I think he has a chance to really showcase that pass coverage. I know his pass coverage rating was pretty high, so that's what he'll be working on. I think he had a couple of problems with some missed tackles. I believe he missed like 21 tackles or something like that last year, so that kind of scares me. But hopefully his ball tracking skills will work, so he can bat down some passes for us, you know, when he has to drop into a little bit of coverage there. Mm-hmm. So across the middle of the field, that's what I'm looking for from him.
Yeah, sixth round, we get into Micah Abraham and Marshall. This is the guy I was talking about earlier. Smaller guy, very anti-Ballard pick. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Kenny Moore. I think he's going to be the depth that slot corner due to that size. And I don't think he's going to be able to play outside corner. But, you know, really good ball production as far, you know, perspective from a ball hawk. 15 passes defended to go along with 4 interceptions last season at Marshall. You know, I don't hate this pick, and it's nothing against Abraham. It's just, you know, I was looking for a guy in the earlier rounds in the day 2, possibly early day 3. You know, because corner is my position. I love me a nice cornerback. And if Quinyon Mitchell ends up being the next Sauce Gardner, I'm
going to be sick to your stomach.
And the Eagles loaded up at corner.
Oh, yeah. They knew what they were doing.
So, but we got Abraham. Obviously, I don't project him being a starter right now, but he's going to compete. You know, a lot of these late round picks, they got that chip on their shoulder, especially if they feel like they should have been earlier round, kind of like A.D. Mitchell. A lot of people said he looked pissed. It wasn't that he was pissed the Colts drafted him. It was pissed that he fell to the late second round. I mean, I bet his whole family, everybody was saying, oh, yeah, I see you as a first round pick. So, you know, again, I see him in that slot corner role. Didn't really feel the need on the outside corner, but I don't know, Jamal, hit shine some light on this, maybe make me feel a little better.
The only thing I could really think at this point is going back to some of the restructuring of Buck's contract and things like that, is maybe they're still going to try their light at vet somewhere down the line. That's the only thing I could possibly think, and it ain't gonna be Gilly Locke, so people can stop talking about that. Stephon Gilmore is not coming back to Indianapolis. He wanted to get out of here, and that ship sailed. So that's the only I could think is maybe they're gonna try their best to get a vet, or as I said before, Ballard, man, he sticks his guns. He said that he thinks there's nothing wrong with the group. As long as people show up, you know, and again, he did the same thing with the offensive line a couple years ago, and we led the league in sacks, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. So hopefully he knows what he's talking about when he says that. And if there are no decisions being made, Gus Bradley has something up his sleeve, but I ain't too high on it right now.
Y'all think like a Xavier Howard signing is going to fix. Hey, we're not getting into this.
I didn't say that.
Hey,
next up.
Hey, let's get to our last pick. Jonah Lalu out of Oklahoma. So defensive tackle. I actually love this pick. Seventh round, high rise score guy, 9.62. Again, versatility. He's played everywhere on the D-line, so special teams ability as well. So you get a guy that you can insert almost anywhere, swinging for that upside because he's an amazing athlete, has some amazing traits, showed up pro day. He's got all the potential to be like a sneaky good player in the NFL if he can put it all together. But, you know, if there's always that if, yeah. You know, he has to be coached hard. Technique has to improve vastly. This is what we do in the seventh round. We take swings. We took a swing at Rodney Thomas, and he's shown some upside there, mm-hmm. and he's filled in when needed. Of course, he took a step back last season, but this is what you do in the seventh round. You sometimes find some gems in the rough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully he can get a chance to get out on the field and make a bit of a difference. I mean, obviously we know that we have a stacked defensive line unit. I mean, there's probably 86 players in there alone. So just adding one more to the party, why not let him get a chance to get out there and have some fun? But yeah, we're going to see what happens. I mean, these guys, they get the chance to make a name for themselves. And like you said, we've seen plenty of people come out these late rounds, these 7-round picks, and they show up and show out. I mean, Jalen Jones, Zaire Franklin. I mean, their names, just on the Colts and other teams as well. So we'll see, man. I mean, was Jalen Jones
a 7th-round pick?
Maybe he was a 6th-round.
I don't remember. Late. I know he was late.
I could be talking out my neck. Let me see real quick.
Day 3 picks. I mean, they do show out. There's like, I was looking up the other day. You know, Richard Sherman was a 5th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are guys that come out of here. That do produce. So we always have to keep that in mind. But you know, your earlier round picks are the ones that are a little bit more common to succeed in the NFL.
Just to confirm, he was a 7th-round pick. Yeah. Pick number
he was. Four. Okay. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Again, Jalen Jones. He started a lot of games last season, mm-hmm. right? So,
all of them.
You know, Was it all of them?
Pretty sure he had the most games out of all of our guys.
Yeah, Dallas Flowers was out. Darrell Baker Jr. got mm-hmm. benched out of time. Yeah, mm-hmm. it happens. And Jalen Jones showed out in training camp. So mm-hmm. this is what I'm talking about. This is good. So maybe when it's all said and done, maybe Ballard does truly believe in this secondary. So he didn't invest too much into it besides the safety group. So. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe we don't need a Terrion Arnold.
I wouldn't get too far out of yourself. I mean,
Nate Wiggins. Yeah. We don't need any of these guys. We got
listen.
But the draft can't be perfect. We're gonna pick it apart. This is what we do. It's opinionated. Giving it an A+ doesn't mean anything. We gave the last draft. I won't say we. Y'all gave the last draft an A+, and see where that got us. I would not say that. The last draft class was an A+, but look, y'all said he was getting steals out the wazoo. But hey, we're not gonna go there.
All I'm saying is, listen, I'm gonna say it just like we said, just like people said after free agency started. There ain't no offseason Super Bowl, so even if we have an A+ draft, don't mean that we about to go in there and win 15 games next season.
Just makes us feel better.
Makes us feel better. But a lot of these players, some of these players aren't gonna make the team. Some, you know, we saw it happen last year. Players who got picked up, they got cut immediately. So these things happen. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited for this one, but hopefully we'll see. Like I said, there ain't no offseason Super Bowl in the words of a lot of people. but I'm hoping for the best. I am excited for what's to come, and I just think that it's a breath of fresh air with everything we got going on within the organization, especially with Shane coming in and just really imposing what he preaches, practicing what he preaches. So I like it.
Yeah, he holds everyone accountable.
Yeah,
we saw that last season, boy.
Yeah,
motherfuckers was getting benched left and right,
looking silly. Cut.
Yeah, like. That was crazy. Hey, but we're almost, 23 minutes in. Let us know what y'all think in the comments. We talked about the entire draft. That's our breakdown. That's our opinion. Want to see what you all think. Colts football, man. It's going to be fun. Anthony Richardson's got to stay healthy. Shane Steichen's, he's going into his second year. Everything should be trending upward. Especially with the additions mm-hmm. we made in this draft class. So I'm excited. I know Jamal's excited.
Absolutely.
All excited, man.
So can't wait for training camp. Can't wait for training camp to be out there a couple times. Have some fun.
Hey, you going out, right?
Live coverage, baby. Absolutely.
Live coverage. Hey, you got anything else?
That's it for me, man. Appreciate y'all listening. Hey, you made it this far.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us today. That's going to be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the ColtsCast. We're live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any platform you use to listen to podcasts. And we'll be back next time to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content.